Verulam Sports.
Hello again and welcome to Verulam Sport Podcasting. And it's always a sincere personal pleasure to talk rugby with a scholar of the game, the eminently erudite voice of our OAs, the Old Albanians, Mr. Brian Quinn. Brian, good evening. How are you?
Evening, Tony. Yes, I'm fine. How are yourself?
Well, I'm going to be honest as opposed to terribly English, Brian. And I'm not joking. I'm counting down the days till I clock off work, go back and to the mighty Tigers territory and see the family. Because calendar year 2020 has been a bit peculiar for us all, hasn't it? But there we go.
It has indeed. Yes, you'll enjoy it up there, especially with that nice Mr. Borthwick apparently doing some nice things for the team.
Hey, I don't want to get too excited. It's so far so good. We'll see how it continues. We'll watch this space and we'll no doubt, you and I, unpack the Gallagher season as it continues. But what has been continuing is the international arena, literally across the world. And isn't it fantastic? We eulogised, and I think quite rightly, about Argentina's first victory ever in their history against New Zealand a couple of weeks back. And they followed that up with a fairly dour game, but a 15-all honours even draw against Australia. Not the most spectacular game of rugby, but once again, this is only Argentina's second game in over 400-plus days. And they just seem to find the way to keep themselves in contention and do enough. And Sanchez, I know he missed one, but my goodness me, he's absolutely prolific at the moment. Your thoughts on Argentina's draw against Australia?
As you say, it was dour, but there again, they are playing themselves back into it. Australia should have been more on song than they were, but they weren't. And you can only play what's in front of you, and that's what Argentina did.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what, it sets up a really compelling tri-nations, doesn't it? All three teams, New Zealand, Argentina and Australia, are locked together on 6 points. And it seconds out round two this weekend for Argentina, New Zealand. New Zealand they've had now two straight defeats. You have to go back to 2011 for the last time that was the case. Surely, it can't be three straight defeats for the All Blacks.
Are you going to put money on that?
I'm surely not. No, this Argentina side certainly have vim and vigour and a lot of grit. But I am going to go with New Zealand as favourites in this one. But a lot of pressure on Mr. Foster. So yeah, your thoughts ahead of this one, which I think could well be another compelling game.
I think we'll see New Zealand come back from what was for them an average performance last time out. They have a history of coming back from things when they were... If you kick them, if you poke them with a stick, they get cross. And I think they're probably cross right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think we're both making New Zealand favourites in this one. But I don't think either of us would be at all surprised if Argentina didn't work the Oracle again and get another turn up for the books result. So impressed with Sanchez. And again, I appreciate that our great game of rugby union is maybe the finest team sport, maybe the truest illustration of team sports across all sports. But you do have to give credit where it's due. That's not so very young man but these days, very experienced. But my goodness me, I know he missed one at the weekend, but he doesn't miss many, does he, from the tee?
No, he doesn't. And if that's the one he missed, then he looks to be getting a great score this coming weekend.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this one. But we're also looking forward in our European scene. The Autumn Nations Cup continues. And we'll whip it back a week. Lots of fixtures. Unfortunately, Italy versus Fiji again cancelled due to so many of the Fijian players contracting or picking up the dreaded CV19, meaning that by default, Italy gets a rare victory. So I suppose they'll take that at the moment. I don't know, not necessarily the game of the weekend, but big respect to Johnny May. England prevailed against Ireland 18-7, and one of his brace was genuinely genius. I know that word's bandied around like confetti, but it was so spectacular. Seriously, check out Johnny May try against Ireland Autumn Nations Cup on YouTube because it is spectacular. He's doing reasonably well in the try-scoring stakes, isn't he? It was a big weekend for him, that brace, meaning he's levelled it up with Ben Cohen and Will Greenwood, second all-time in the England all-time try-scoring charts. Your thoughts on the predator that is Johnny May and his efforts against Ireland at the weekend?
Give him an inch and he's away, just like all great international wingers. And, well, they gave him an inch twice and he took more than advantage of it. You don't get a try from one end of the field to the other so often or too often in international rugby these days. This is what happened. And it happened against one of the top five sides, Ireland, who will be kicking themselves for leaving a gap even as... Like it was, but there appeared to be nothing on until the England backs decided that there was something on, Johnny May in particular, and it ended up at the other end and they couldn't catch him.
Yeah, absolutely. And that brace, like I say, takes him to 31 tries, second all time on the England try scoring list. Very impressive tries to game ratio, 31 tries in 60 England caps. We mentioned, of course, my affinity to the East Midlands and Leicester. Will Leicester legend, Mr. Rory Underwood, currently England's all-time top try scorer with 49 from 85, will he be beginning to get a bit nervous, do you think, about Johnny May? Or given the nature of international rugby in general, obviously we don't wish this, but injuries are always a possibility. Do you think Rory will still be relatively calm at this moment?
Well, Rory took over the mantle, I think, in the late 80s of England's top try scorer, which had been held for so long. For
69 years. You know who it was, Brian? I'm sure you do.
I did. I haven't got the notes with me, I'm afraid.
Cyril Lowe. Cyril Lowe it was, and it stood for 69 years. And it's pushed things forward because Cyril Lowe's record, I think, was 18. So it just goes to show how the game of rugby has evolved in the kind of time. But yes, so yeah, you just go back though to Rory and your thoughts. Great try scorer he was, and indeed is still our top try scorer. But do you think he will be looking over his shoulder at May at the moment?
Just a quick word about Cyril. Cyril was born in the same year as my father, 1921. And that gives you a wonderful link with the past, I think. Rory, nothing frightened Rory, whether it was in the air or on the ground on a rugby field. And 49 tries is a hell of a return for any international player. Yep. And Rory's up there head and shoulders ahead of everybody else at the moment. According to Underwood himself, he's certainly not frightened and he desperately wants his record to be beat. And he believes May is the man to do it. We look forward to the application of that skill.
Absolutely. But obviously, we've focused in on Johnny May. England prevailed 18 points to 7. Were you a little disappointed by Ireland? I know they got a late try, basically just consolation. They're always competitive. That's their nature. But they didn't seem to me to offer too much in the way of threat, really, to England. What was your thoughts on the Ireland performance?
Ireland were second rate to England all the way through, unfortunately. England had just 38% possession in the entire game and were more than happy with that, delighted with that, because we saw what their defence did to a fairly limited Ireland attack, it has to be said. The try which came Ireland's way was one of genius, one of brilliance, and they should have started that an hour before. Then we might have had a proper game of it, but Ireland's attacking in the traditional ways, close to the scrum or in the scrum itself, plain didn't work because of England's defence. So they paid the penalty in many ways. Just, we talk about Celtic Storm, but there's also a great deal of genius in so many of these players. So let the genius loose. Let the players get on with it. Let them see the gap because they all play with their heads up, looking forward. They didn't do that until the last moments of the game, and Ireland scored a try as a result of that.
Hey, Brian, we'll build up to Ireland's fixture this weekend against Georgia. And I know I'm just going to touch on it because we'll build up to it in just a second. But I know you've been advocating, and I'm sure it's echoed by many others, for a shift at the fly half axis. And it will be Burns getting his first start against Georgia. We'll talk about that in just one second. But I just want to circle us back to last weekend's fixtures in the Autumn Nations Cup. We've mentioned lots over the last few weeks, you and I, maybe the mounting pressure on Wayne Pivac, a relieving result for Wales. They got an 18-0 win over Georgia, much changed Wales. Now, we've also tonight been focusing in on flying wingers, perhaps too early to get too excited, but in youngster 19-year-old Rhys Zammit, they got a try on debut for him, and he was instrumental in their second. Again, right at the start of his career, that young man, but he does seem to have the world at his feet at the moment. Thoughts on Zamit?
He's got nothing to be frightened of because he doesn't have the experience to be frightened yet.
Yeah.
So let him run with it. First of all, obviously, he has to be given the ball or given a chance of getting the ball himself if you're talking about running onto the thing. So let's see if the rest of the Wales team can do something about that and shovel the ball out to him. At least it'll give the pack a rest.
I think it was very important here that Wales got the win. Obviously, it was, as we've discussed, a much changed side. I think they made 13 changes from the previous weekend. But that victory snaps a 6-game losing streak. So we've spoken about the importance of winning can be instrumental in being a catalyst for cultural change. Just how crucial do you think it was that they got that win? Albeit, and I mean this with the highest respect, only against Georgia.
It's the result that counts. And if you're taping W next to whatever happened in the previous match, you can look back on that and say, well, we came first in a competition of two. And that means an awful lot to your own morale. And it's not necessarily what's coming next. It's how you feel about going into what's coming next that is crucial to the performance on the day. So, yes, they can't say that they had 7 defeats on the trot because that would have been competitively worse than 6 defeats on the trot. They won, and that's great. Let them not necessarily revel in it, but enjoy it and take that optimism into the next match.
Yeah, absolutely. And that next one match is this very weekend. They host England. Obviously, England top Group A at the moment and will be favourites for this one. A couple of things to note, though. George Fords gets a start, his first start for a little while, with Farrell switching to the centres. George Ford is a, you know, favourite of Eddie Jones and has an array of talents. Do you think this strengthens England coming into this fixture?
I guess it would be nice to have the same back line all through a particular campaign. It hasn't happened. What it does do is to demonstrate the fact that England have various options. We've known about these options, and indeed, if you really wanted to think about it, there's half a dozen others, and some of them don't even include Farrell. But Farrell's there. He's the second receiver. He's the second decision maker in that, if you will. So let's have Ford as a playmaker and see what Farrell does when he's released a bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. And those three of the debutants from Wales' team keep their place. The flyer, we've already spoken about Louis Rhys Zamit on the wing, centre Johnny Williams, and that famous name, James Botham, also retains place, actually switching to open side. But perhaps a big loss for Wales is two of their stars. When we were looking for some causes for optimism in the Welsh efforts in that 6-game losing streak, Brian, you pointed straight away to an ex-Saracens man, Liam Williams. He's out of this fixture through a facial injury. They also lose Skipper and another bona fide world-class star in Tipperick out through concussion. They're two big losses coming into this game against England, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Tipperick is a magician in the back row, and he's got a work rate just as good as any in the England back three. I'm not sure what effect Liam Williams' loss will have to Wales, but you have to look at the history of the man, what he can do, what's possible in both international and at club level to find out how can we do without this or not. Well, Wales are about to find out. And it's a time of cometh the hour, cometh the man. We'll see what the back line do without him, but it doesn't give greater hope to Wales' hopes or chances against, at the moment, a rampaging or semi-rampaging England side.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the day when England do truly rampage, flirting with it, but still, I think, playing a slightly restricted brand of rugby at the moment, but they keep on winning, so who am I to begrudge them that?
Well, I'll tell you England, who you are. You are a commentator, and when the side, after every darn match, including every darn victory, they said, well, we have so much more to give. My question, or coming back from that, would be, well, if you have, why didn't you blast it? Well, give it.
Yes, There's that old one, isn't there? They're about, in whatever level you play, just leave nothing out on the field. And it is a strange line of conversation that is consistently coming out of the England lineups at the moment. So we'll watch that. But nevertheless, all that being said, this is a team who have habitually grown accustomed to victory. And I would personally make them rather heavy favourites against Wales this weekend. Can you possibly see Wales getting back-to-back wins? Or would you agree that England are rather heavy favourites at this moment in time?
No, I can't see Wales doing that. And I don't think Wales can either, which is the bigger problem. Had they lost two or three on the trot, then perhaps, and had a couple of wins to go into a match with. It's in Parc des Scarlets, and I'm sure I haven't got the pronunciation right there. They're almost the traditional home of Welsh rugby. It's where Wales beat the All Blacks, so there's a huge amount of history there. Will they be able to draw on that? Yes, to a certain extent. Will they be able to draw on the fact that it's England, the old enemy, as opposed to any other side? Yes, for sure they will. Do they have the firepower? I think not.
Nevertheless, it should be an exciting game. Can England get the win they need to top Group A? We mentioned Ireland. They were also in action this weekend, hosting Georgia. Georgia have only got 7 points from their last three games. Ireland will be looking to bounce back. And we've already referenced this, Brian. I know you've been quite keen to see Ireland make some changes, particularly in the halfback area. And Billy Burns, the Ulsterman, gets his first start at 10. Big day for that man. Got a lot of talent. What are you looking for from Burns in this fixture against Georgia?
Burns has pace. He has skill, ball skills in all respects, and distribution skills, as well as a decent kicking game. I'd love to see him initially go through, link up with the back row. And see what can be done there. Ireland have a strong back row in international terms. Let's see that make holes in the Georgia defence. And after that, spin the thing wide and see what happens. It's a matter of keeping your opponents guessing. And for instance, Welsh fly halves have been famous for this for a century. What is he going to do? We don't know. And if you've got your opponent guessing, that's the best place to have your opponent. Now, Burns, in that respect, can do that to Georgia. It's not perhaps going to be the toughest fixture that Ireland have ever had. So let's see some magic, the magic that was missing from most of the England game.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to see what Burns does at 10. We'll see. And I definitely think that's a win for your Ireland there. And I'm sure they'll be looking to whip up a bit of a Celtic storm against Georgia. I'm just going back again for the final fixture in last weekend's outings. France keep on winning. They've found that winning habit. It wasn't, again, necessarily the most beautiful game of rugby, and indeed a rather ugly red card for France's Mohamed Hulas. But with the firepower they've got, a Vakatawa try was the difference in a 22-15 win. That ends Scotland's five-game win streak, and it was the first French victory at Murrayfield since 2014. Brian, we've eulogised, I think quite rightly, about the French coaching axis, Monsieur Gaultier and Monsieur Edwards really seem to have found a nice combination there. And France win ugly, but they do have so many weapons, don't they, this French team?
I don't think that Edwards can spell the word ugly. A famous Scottish coach once said, "I don't care for any side that has to kick off more than once," which probably summed it up, and that's Edwards' philosophy, I think, all the way through. So if you start with the defence, like England seem to have done just recently, France are doing it now. For France, in very short order, have a formidable defence. They've always had brilliance, certainly in the backs and so often in the back row, and they've had a formidable front five as well. So now they've got the opportunity to use it. As we said a week or so ago, they have the opportunity to use it, knowing that they are safe for the most part at the back. That's what happened. I think it wasn't particularly pretty, but they didn't have to exert themselves hugely in order to get the W. Did they do that? I don't know. Again, it comes back to, if you have more to give, then why didn't you give it?
Scotland did go 6-0 down, and it was good to see them still kind of fighting throughout the game. Again, that's their first defeat in five. And I definitely think that this is a Gregor Townsend-inspired Scotland who are a team to watch. But what do you think Scotland, and maybe in particular Townsend, will have learnt from that defeat against the French?
It was a doer match. We've always known that Scotland can do that. Was it a lack of imagination? It's possibly that, because France were not the side they were necessarily the week before. And it has to be the leaders on the field, I think, who recognize this and say, lads, we've got a hole over here, let's go through it.
Yep.
Or we've got a way of playing we can use, let's use that. If that's the case, then it's a management problem, and the players on the field should be given more freedom to do the sort of things we have. Now, Hogg at the back seems to be exactly the man to do that. I'd rather, I suppose, he was in the back row or maybe in the halfbacks. He'd be closer to everybody. He's not. But I think with no crowds in the stadium, he can still be heard all over that same stadium. Let him have the power on the field to run the game as he sees fit, as opposed to formulaic.
Well, that means, though, that France, having played a game less than Scotland, currently in second, but they only need a win against Italy at the weekend to ensure that they will top Group B in the Autumn Nations Cup. France versus Italy can't be anything other than a France win here, surely.
No, I can't see anything other than a France win, and I certainly, like you, would not put money on it.
Well, look, that's kind of completes the penultimate round of the Autumn Nations Cup, and we'll look forward to discussing the action this weekend and then building up to the final rounds, where the team in at top of Group A will collide against the team at top in Group B, second place second, and so on and so forth, in what is, I think, a really interesting formula for this kind of tournament. Brian, always a massive pleasure and a privilege to enjoy your company. As always, I'd like to take a moment to wish you all the very best. Keep well, keep safe, and I look forward to building on tonight and reviewing next this weekend, building towards those finals next week. Thanks again.